Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. The Circle Cinema is preparing to celebrate its 90th anniversary beginning this weekend. Tulsa's oldest movie theater opened on July 15, 1928, and over its 90 years, the theater's had many lives. From being the home of big-name films through the first decades of the theater's life, to more drive-in movie fare in the 1960s, later a time as a porno theater, then showing mexploitation films before closing. But 15 years ago, the theater revived as a home for independent, foreign, and documentary films as the Circle Cinema offered community consciousness through film. And for the 90th anniversary, the Circle is offering a film festival that reflects much of its 90-year history. From the second film ever shown at the theater, the 1928 silent, The Gaucho, which will feature the theater's refurbished theater organ, to classic films like the 1949 film Tulsa, or Peggy Dahl Helmerich's 1951 film, I Want You, and films and Q&As with Tulsa native actors like Tim Blake Nelson, Mary Kay Place, Jeannie Triplehorn, and Gary Busey, who will be inducted into the theater's Walk of Fame. There'll be plenty of special film events during this nine-day festival. Joining us to talk about the Circle Cinema's history and its future is Clark Weens, the co-founder of the cinema and president of the Circle Cinema Foundation. Clark Weens, welcome back to Studio Tulsa, and congratulations on the 90th anniversary of The Circle.
Thank you, Rich. It's a pleasure to be here, and KWGS has been instrumental along with the rest in helping us be 15 years since we purchased it.
Take us back to the origins of this idea of The Circle Cinema, which not only involves being an independent movie house, but also a place where you can see foreign films, documentaries, but also this community gathering place for a neighborhood. When you purchased that building, was anything but a gathering place.
It would be called in a state of disrepair,
yeah,
to say the least.
Right, and the whole neighborhood.
The whole neighborhood. Yeah. And I'm not taking away from Ziegler's, but for the rest of
right,
it,
yeah.
I would have to say it was in a state of total disrepair.
So what are the origins of this
idea? Well, the origins were film. The film thing came from my father during World War II and my brother. And my father showed films. He was born in 1900, and in 1941, he was too old to go to war, but he could run a movie projector. So he lived in California, and he went up all over California for 4 years showing films about the war. And he would tell us, boys, being the twins, that I would come out of that theater, and I would show these films to farmers and stuff, and they would start and plow in fields at night with flashlights. And he would say, that's the power of film. Hmm. And that's what the Circle Cinema really came to.
So this idea of, from the very beginning of your life,
yes,
you were taught about the power of film.
Film.
So what was it about 15 years ago when you decided to do this that you felt like, okay, we need to have this independent film?
Well, I was becoming, having seen a lot of independent films and stuff, and there were so many films that weren't seen in Tulsa, number one. And there have been several try and not fail, and I tried to help each and every one. I had nothing against, didn't want wish to fail. But in particular, films that would be applicable to teaching tolerance, to making people know that other people, just because they're different, they're still the same. And that just became my craw, that not using film in Tulsa, we were wasting time, effort, and energies. And then I bumped into George Kravis, who was a friend of mine, and he was saying, we ever thought about restoring the Circle Cinema in Tulsa? I'm a graduate of the University of Tulsa, and I didn't know where the Circle Cinema was. So, I was worried about grades and girls, and I wasn't worried about film right then that much. But we went over and looked, and it was in a total state of disrepair. It had been vacant 9 years and had been a softcore porno, and it'd be Hispanic films. But it was still standing after 1928. And we made a deal, and we bought the theater with the help of the city. And I wanted the city involved, so we knew the roots would be spread. I never wanted it to be an I thing. It had to be a we thing. And George was helpful on that and stayed helpful economically throughout the whole transaction. God rest his soul, but he'd be proud of me sitting here talking about our venture.
So what did George see in this particular property?
George,
was it more from just a piece of Tulsa history that was bound to be torn down at some point?
He saw it. He appreciated film also as an art, and that's what it is, a form of art. And he appreciated the art aspect of film, and here was an opportunity to have something in Tulsa that nobody else would have. And most likely, with my drive per se, I'm not trying to underestimate that, and the ability to economically make it work, that it would be here and would stay here. And I have to say, in the last years, he was, I think, very proud of having been involved with it.
Yeah, but of course, it was a long process getting that theater renovated for many years, you actually built a small theater on the side, which you still use. It's one of your fourth
theaters. One of our four current screens. It was now called Screen 3, but we showed many a film and had many an event. I just can't tell you the difference. And mostly we tried to combine someone in addition to the film to make it more than just a movie. And we really worked hard at that. And I think that's part of the success we have, that people expect more when they go to the Circle Cinema.
And the other thing you've done is you've turned this old movie house into a community gathering place for a wide range of activities, everything from school kids that will see films related to their curriculum that most of the time most normal people would not even know that's happening.
That's true.
But also for community events and things like that. How important is that to your mission?
It's very important. We want it to be a cultural center. For what it's worth, we're a museum, but we change our art once a week. And all the things that you can bring together, a community, as we alluded to in our motto, community conscious through film, it's community. You get people together and things happen. That's America. Individuals can watch something on TV and not a whole lot gets done about it. But you get a community together, be it right or wrong or otherwise, and it happens because community makes it happen.
Yeah. Take us back to when you bought the theater. It had been closed for a number of years.
Nine years, to be exact.
It had been a porno theater before that. It had been showing second or third run Hispanic films for a short amount of time. And then it sat vacant. What was the condition of the theater at that point?
It was in total disrepair. I mean, there wasn't a thing. And the people who had lived there, pardon me, homeless or otherwise, I guess they weren't homeless. They had a theater to go to. And they forgot that there were restrooms outside. And the place was just unbelievable. We had to start from scratch and just tear everything out and start over. And we knew that would be an economic burden that we wanted to spread over a period of time. So as you alluded to before, we went and opened one screen in about 2 years. And we actually opened in 2004, October, we opened. And it took a lot of doing to do that. But I have to admit, the community got behind it. And between KWGS's PSAs and a multitude of other things, people became cognizant something different was going on there. And what was so cool, you learned, is that the whole community at that area, Kendall Whittier, just seemed to be like a spark plug. It just got better. It took a while and got better and got better. And now if you drive there, you would never be aware that at one time the place was in total disrepair.
Yeah. And, of course, that road was a long road. You started working on the main theater, and the back wall tumbled down.
It did. We had about a four-year moratorium on building as I tried to resolve an insurance claim, and the builder simply went bankrupt. That was his way out. And one day we met with 15 attorneys that flew in.
And it could have been really easy to walk away at that point.
It could have been.
I mean, because you're looking at the back wall of the theater, you know.
It was open.
It was open.
It was gone. You know, you just get it in your craw. You're going to do something. And I've been in the lumber business, and we kind of succeeded. And you know what? The accomplishment attitude afterwards is so worth the effort on the go in. And I've been rewarded once or twice in that, and we weren't about to walk away.
So the original vision to actually have, you know, it was one of the last of the big movie houses. Now, it was a suburban movie house.
Right.
But it was still like a big theater. The idea to have a big theater, or was it always to chop it up into a couple of theaters?
Having learned I had about independent film, that a Monday night you'd be lucky to have one person in each screen if you were lucky. Not so much now. I have to admit it's much better, but even so. You've got to spread. I took advice from people like the Music Box in Chicago. He said, oh my gosh, put in a multitude of film theaters and you'll be much better off. Once or twice you wish. So that's why we put in one relatively big screen. And now we have three small ones. And it really has really worked out because more than once, and as you're probably aware, Rich, we fill that big thing up for so many times. It's a joke with a variety of events, including even our local Peggy Helmrich, among others. Everybody just seemed to come on board to help.
And so eventually you did get all four screens open. Is this the vision that you envisioned at the beginning, or are you there yet?
There, but you know, we just want to make it better. You know, we just had a campaign 90 by 90, and we raised a lot more than 90, thanks to the Helmrichs and so many other people that contributed. And now we're starting to make those improvements. And as you come to the theater, you'll start seeing tags. Thank you, 90 by 90. We've got another projector coming. We've got all new spotlights coming for the big screen. We've got so much stuff coming that we hope to make it. We think it's state of the art, but you know what? It's usually money that holds you back in that regard. And right now we have it, and we're going to make it better.
Yeah. coming up this week, you'll start your 90th anniversary celebration.
Absolutely.
90th anniversary of the theater, which opened in 1928. It was the first movie theater outside of downtown.
Absolutely.
And what are you doing for the 90th?
Well, it's a big deal. Well, maybe in our own minds. I don't want to exaggerate or embellish. But we've got 9 days of our 90th birthday. And we have so many co-sponsors, including Voice and KWGS and everybody else helping us. But on Saturday the 7th, the first event is going to be Almost Famous, which is a famous movie. It's all right about a rock and roll band. It's a great movie. And the Voice will be there, and they'll have speakers and such to make it more. We're following that Sunday at afternoon, the 8th of July, with a sing-along, the 40th anniversary of Grease with a total sing-along. It's really different. They really put limitation on how you promote it, but it is a total sing-along. I think everybody that comes will enjoy it.
Now, you do sing-alongs fairly regularly.
We do.
I know White Christmas
White Christmas
has
become a Tulsa tradition now. We've done that for 13 years, and people fill the place up. And we've had competitors come and go with films. Same time, it doesn't matter. We fill up. We've had several sing-alongs. I think everybody enjoys them. They really do.
One of the things that strikes me as interesting, you're actually going to do a screenplay reading?
A screenplay. That event's free, and it's The Outsiders, as most would know since we've talked so much about it. The Outsiders was actually filmed there.
Yeah.
And you can see a poster signed by Francis Coppola showing that it was there and stuff, and he'd been very
nice.
Now,
that's at the Outsider House Museum, right?
We've been helping on that quite a bit. Lumber-wise, I can assure you we have. But beyond the lumber, we've done everything we can. We've had several fundraising events for them. And they're bringing scripts, and they're going to sit and read those scripts originally, and there'll be no charge. That'll happen at 4:30 on that Sunday, Sunday the 8th. Then Sunday that evening will be a very special event, an evening with Tim Blake Nelson. Tim has been very kind to us. He's become a friend, number one, but number two, he's been very beneficial to the Circle. From day one, he even went to AMC and helped me do events, and he's coming in to Michael Smith, the Tulsa World Critic, is going to do an evening with Tim Blake and film clips. And you'll have a set conversation, and they'll sit and listen, and then film clips to elaborate. His entire career is a kind of the goal.
Now, you just mentioned the AMC, and we think of the AMC as being sort of, occasionally they'll devote a screen to an important independent film. But actually, before you actually had a movie theater, you were actually doing a series.
We paid through the nose, but, the Chinese own AMC now. It's owned by the, and things have changed. I don't think they'd be quite as kind to us as they were at the start. They were easy to get along with, and we did get along, but things are radically different.
But you actually started
We showed several films, including The Gray Zone by Tim Blake Nelson. And we just didn't have a screen, and couldn't do it, but we wanted to start showing films to show the type films that we could bring to Tulsa to make an example of it.
My guest today is Clark Weens, the co-founder and president of the Circle Cinema Foundation. The Circle Cinema is celebrating its 90th anniversary this month with a film festival, which gets underway this weekend and continues through next week with a load of special events and special guests coming in. So we mentioned an evening with Tim Blake Nelson will take place Sunday at 6:30 with conversation and career retrospective with the actor. And he's joining us to talk about some of the other events. I see among the list of things you're going to do a special showing of Tulsa, the film.
Yes, $2 a night, tea for Tulsa, tea for two. $2 a night, please. We would love to fill the place up with Tulsa, shown on the big 40-foot screen, and I think all will enjoy it. If you haven't seen it on the big screen, it's a very good film. It really is.
And you're doing films that range from some of the regular things you do, like your silent movie, Second Saturdays, to some of the things you're also known for is like showing even pre-premiere, almost rough cuts in many ways, of films that are about to come out or documentaries that
Absolutely.
Are coming out. You have one of those as well about the women in petroleum geology.
Yeah, which is relevant to Tulsa and oil. But here the ladies look like they were doing the secretarial work. But in fact, they were doing a lot of the geology work. And now times have changed. And I think they'd be getting due recognition for that in today's age. But that's what it was then. And it's a great film exploring that aspect about oil. And we're lucky to have oil as a related in Tulsa, Oklahoma. It's where we are today.
Yeah. Yes. So that's taking place on next Wednesday, the 11th, at 7:30 with some of the filmmakers, including Vern Stefanik.
Right.
Also, you have, just tell us about some of the other things that are
going on. We do have a Native American thing, and Nanyehe. Yehi is an award-winning short film and live musical, and they're coming on, that would be on Monday, to show that along with doing a live performance that goes along with the film. It's really, really different. And then Tuesday night is Tulsa. Then the Rock Stars of Petroleum. And then we have Mankiller and Ronnie Bodine presented by our Native Crossroads with a Q&A with Wilma Mankiller's daughters. And you watch that film and a chance to talk to people who are part of it, I think you'll find it quite enlightening. We're very excited about that. Then we will have a live gallery painting exhibit by a gentleman that does a painting for the Cherokees. We'll be there that evening from 5 to 7 prior to the film. Then moving on, well, Friday we will have a film starring Jeannie Triplehorn, her new film, We Only Know So Much. And with that will come a Q&A afterwards. Nancy Bizjak will be the host, and it'll be a great time for all. If you like Jeannie Triplehorn, you'll see her at her best, and you can talk with her and question with her, and she'll stay around a while and talk with everybody. A great opportunity for Tulsa to meet one of our native-born film stars, to say the least. That evening, we will show Deep Red, which is Friday evening, and then we also plan, if it works out, Heather Langenkamp is coming, and we hope to show The New Nightmare, and she'll be there to talk about it beforehand and stuff. We just don't have the details, so if you can keep watching our channel or listen to KWGS or somebody, when we get those details, we'll get them here, plus we'll get them on our site. We'll hone that up today.
Of course, that Deep Red is part of your Circle's Graveyard Shift, because that's one of the other little special series. You do horror films.
We do a special series, Graveyard Shift, in which we do cult movies and stuff, and I have to say thank you, Tulsa. It's very well attended. People gravitate to it. Kids are home from college, high school, whatever they are, they're out of school. A great opportunity to see film.
We mentioned the Gaucho. We didn't mention the film The Gaucho, but that is your silent film you'll be showing on Saturday the 14th.
And that film actually showed at the Circle, opened on July 17th of 1928. The first film that opened at the Circle was Across the Atlantic, and that film was destroyed. They didn't keep a print. It went to nothing. But the second film we have, and that film opened on July the 17th, 1928, in Tulsa, Oklahoma, at the Circle. And we'll be showing that free.
And with your organ.
With our
organ. Which has been another project.
Which is our original organ restored. If you haven't heard it, you've missed a great experience. And we do that every second Saturday. We always have it. And it's quite a thing. Then that afternoon, we have Saturday afternoon, we have Fathers of Football. And we've already sold out one screen. We're working on the second. So one's at 2, and so one's at 2:30. And Brad Beasley, the guy making the film, will be there. We're actually having a film festival in conjunction with this, which allows people to bring films like this and not get in trouble with distribution.
So this is a rough-cut screening of the—
Rough-cut screening.
Is this a documentary?
It's a documentary of the Wagner High School that won like 47 games in a row. Uh-huh. And a story about how that evolved and all that. They said it's exciting and fascinating. It showed at Dead Center, and they said people just went nuts over it. But we look forward to showing it in Northeast Oklahoma, where it came from.
There'll be yet another silent film later that afternoon.
Yes.
And it's actually has a new orchestral soundtrack.
It does.
Which is sort of one of the things they're doing to silent films. Is you're having film composers write new film scores.
And that's called Passion of Joan of Arc, which has been construed by many as the best film ever made. I've seen more than one critic say that. I read film stuff all the time. I'm probably— my head's full of this stuff.
Perhaps the film you've never heard of is considered one of the best.
If not the best, one of the very best films ever made in 1928. It said it's a classic. And we'll have Clifton Raphael from the Jinx School, who is a premier teaching film in Oklahoma, to be there to talk about the film to set you up for things to look for.
Also on that Saturday, Mary Kay Place comes back to Tulsa.
Mary Kay Place is back, and she has got a terrific film. And we've even seen people have talked about potential Oscar on this. They say by far the best role that she's ever had in her entire film history life, and she's had a very good film
life.
That
film is Diane.
That film is Diane. That's correct. And then the next day, we honor again, I think we call it our Dom of whatever, of Oklahoma, not just Tulsa, Peggy Helmrich. And we finally have got the equipment to show a reel-to-reel that costs us around $15,000. And between the lights of Hardesty and Helmrichs and everybody else chipped in, we can now show reel-to-reel, which has opened up like 2,000 arc rival films to us.
Reel-to-reel.
Reel-to-reel. I mean, we have two projectors now that do nothing but show one film. And you can't break it. And Universal sent the film to us. There's only one version of it. And it's at our risk, but they won't be mad if it breaks. But we've gone through it all. We think it'll work perfect. And we're going to show it. And it's a film that Peggy herself really likes. It's called I Want You, and it's about Korea. And it's a subtle moral lesson about draft dodging that's very interesting. And I've experienced the draft, but a lot of younger people haven't. And what it means to you and how it works. It's a very thoughtful film. And Peggy considered it one of her best films.
Now, I don't know this reel-to-reel technique. Was it a one sort of technique of showing a film that's kind of gone by the
way? Oh, no. It's totally archaic, pardon my language. Yeah, uh-huh. We bought We went to Memphis, Tennessee. Greg did, and brought them back. And it took weeks to install them. And we had to put a new window in our back screen. It's real to real. There's hardly any theater.
So this is the way it used to be years ago.
It's the way it showed. They didn't have platters per se for 35 mils. Uh-huh. They had this real to real. And there's archived film that are only available on that. So we're just opening up a Pandora's box of a multitude of films we can show.
And so this will be one of the first films you show in this.
It will format. Be one of the. Yeah, the first one was with Gilcrease. Uh-huh. And we showed the first John Wayne film he featured. Right. And that had to be shown on reel to reel. So we had a dual motive and stressing to get this in time to help Gilcrease and to help show Peggy's film. And she'll be there and she'll take Q&A and she'll talk with everyone. I think they'll find it a great, enjoyable evening. And then that night, you're right, he's coming, and he will be here,
Gary Busey.
And we will show his famous film that he was nominated for an Oscar for his role, The Buddy Holly Story. And Gary will be here to talk with people at first. In fact, he's going to try to meet everybody that he can. And tickets are selling very fast there. I cannot mislead you on this. And it's a great film, number one. But number two, and we'll dedicate his medallion. And if you haven't been to the Circle, always feel free to walk on the sidewalk. We have the Oklahoma's Walk of Fame for film, and you'll be very enlightened by watching this and seeing it.
Well, you can get details. We've gone through a lot of events, have a lot of events over this about a course of a week and two weekends. And all the events are located on the Circle Cinema website at circlecinema.com. And you can check out the events you'd like to attend. And it sounds like tickets are going fast for some of them.
They're going pretty fast. Not all, I wouldn't mislead. All I can say, thank you, Tulsa, for letting this happen and hopefully now you come to enjoy the fruits of your own labor. We look forward to it.
So, you know, you've got this vision.
Yes.
And there were a lot of, people were saying, I wonder if this is actually going to ever happen. And of course, it did happen. And it seems to be going incredibly well. And it is a repository for independent film, foreign film here in the city.
And school kids. We're showing films to school kids all the time. We showed 4,000 children of The Bully. And we think it made a difference.
Yeah. So what's the future for the Circle Cinema?
More educational, more stuff. And actually, some of the improvements that we just raised the funds for will allow us to do different things. And we are working with a cousin of mine on a theater in Oklahoma City called The Rodeo, and that's a ways off yet. But it's a nonprofit, as we repeated so many times. Our motive is to make a difference in Oklahoma, and we hope to do it in Tulsa, which we hope we have, and now we'll try it in Oklahoma City. But I just think we can always be better. Every morning I wake up, read more reviews, and just get more films to make it even better. I get excited about it.
You mentioned this reel-to-reel system. I assume that's a recent purchase. What are some of the other things you've purchased that are going to make a difference?
More things that just make it more automatic, number one, and have a DCP in all four screens. And there's just a multitude of little things that we hope everyone notices, but we won't be coming out asking for money for it. It's been funded, and now get the privilege of spending it, and that we shall do.
All right. Well, we wish you great success on the 90th anniversary and many more to come.
We'll look forward to
the 100th here in 10
years.
Well,
we have, we have a thing we've hidden. What do you call that?
A time capsule
that will open on the 100th. I think everybody in town will enjoy. I hope I'm around to see it. Thank you.
In the meantime, I hope you can check out some of the 90th birthday celebration activities at the Circle Cinema and their Circle Cinema Film Festival, which kicks off this weekend, continues through the anniversary date is when?
7/15, next Sunday, a week from this Sunday.
Yeah.
And we'll have birthday cake and stuff at the Peggy thing to honor our birthday.
All right. Thank you so much for all the work you do on behalf of film here in our community.
And thank
congratulations.
Thank you, KWGS. You've been very kind to us, and we thank everyone. Appreciate it.
Well, Clark, thanks for joining us.
Uh-huh. My pleasure.
Clark Weens is the co-founder and president of the Circle Cinema Foundation. The Circle Cinema is celebrating its 90th anniversary this month with a film festival and a ton of special events. To learn more about those special events, visit their website at circlecinema.com. You're listening to Studio Tulsa. Here's the comments of Barry Friedman.
The man, Jaime, and that's not his real name, sat in the moving truck in the back. It was open, taking a break. His men could finish it up. He opened his cooler, a little plastic Coleman knockoff, reached inside and took out a row of cookies. Half the row was gone. One of the other men, the other movers, came up to me and asked, if he gave me money, would I stop and buy him some Monster energy drinks on the way to the new place? He then reached in his pocket. Oh, sorry, he said, I only have a dollar. Don't worry about it, I started to say. When Jaime, seeing this, shook his head and called out, that's okay, sir, I'll take care of it. You do good work, I said to Jaime after the other man left. My father's life was behind him. Thanks, man, I'm halfway through. What he was halfway through was the Howe Foundation, an in-house recovery program for men here in Tulsa. That means 3 more months. Jaime, who was the foreman on the job, more or less, and the other 3 men on this move are addicts, drugs mostly, some alcohol. Howe hires men like this for lawn care, tree removal, trash hauling, and personal moves like my father's. The 4 guys today in Howe shirts and name tags were polite, formidable, and brittle. And each one of them looked like they knew they were being followed by ghosts. You look a little like the former attorney general, I told Jaime, Eric Holder. Thanks. I want to look like somebody, be something. Jaime has a mustache and a 2-inch scar on his face. He can't be more than 35. You have a good temperament for this, if you don't mind me saying. The guys know you're the boss, you're the man, yet you never raise your voice. You should do this, consider this when you get out. By the way, you weren't going to let me buy those Monster drinks, were you? He should never have asked you. So how tough is this? Man, I want to see my twins. Their mother kept them from me. She was a hard ass, but she was right. I screwed up. Out of high school, I was drafted by the Dodgers. But then, and here he took a beat and then a bite of his cookie, someone introduced me to meth. And that was it. I've heard, and I don't do drugs, I said, that you're always chasing your first high, he says, finishing my thought, and you never find it, but you keep doing it till you wind up here. Hey, when I was planning my father's move, I told him I was using the Howe Foundation. He had no idea what that was, but he's got this enormous jar of pennies and this album of state quarters and cardboard with about 36 quarters left, and he was worried the movers would steal it, and this was anybody, not just the Howe Foundation. And then I told him about you guys and what you go through and second chances and how none of you were going to throw away your recoveries for less than $9 and quarters on a cardboard album you had to pull out individually. Jaime laughed. You're right, but I'll tell you something. When I was doing meth, that thing would have been gone.
Barry Friedman is a columnist for the Tulsa Voice and a regular contributor to Studio Tulsa. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests and commentators are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of KWGS or its licensee, the University of Tulsa. Tomorrow we'll be off for the 4th of July. Studio Tulsa returns on the 5th. We'll see you then. Have a wonderful 4th of July holiday. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.